Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rock and roll, meow.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we appreciate everybody who has helped us become the number one sports show here in Houston. We appreciate you jumping on with us and participating with us. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, hello, I see you, Cornbread, Pals, Brandon, Kick Rocks is always there and loyal, Alex, D, Joseph, everybody out there, Jordan, I see you as well. So shout out to everybody, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, those of you on the text line as well. We appreciate you for hanging out and joining us as well. Couple of news and notes. The Astros, if you're just joining us, they get a dub today, finally, as they went 9-1 and avoid a sweep there. Played pretty good baseball. Their ace, Framber Valdez, 7 innings, 7 strikeouts, 2 runs on 1 earned. Or 2 walks on 1 earned run, and he came to the party and did exactly what they needed from him. Big days from Jeremy Pena, Zach DiCenzo, and Yiner Diaz as well, as they get 9 runs and win comfortably going into their off day tomorrow on Thursday and getting ready to play the Reds at home. And then the Rockets and Fred Van Fleet, we talked about yesterday, the big news with him, they have, I guess, jointly pushed back the Friday deadline. They had to the 9th. It was said the 9th until the Rockets had to be able to decide if they're going to pick up that $45 million team option. They have agreed to push that back to June 29th. So that is something they'll have to take care of. So that's the latest updates happening around the city that you need to know about. Also, Nick Caserio, the general manager, joined Payne and Pendergast earlier today. And the offensive line is obviously, I think, the big concern point on this team, even after free agency and the draft. And in particular, Titus Howard. We, of all the guys that we feel most confident in, that we know is going to be starting day one, if healthy, Titus Howard. Just don't really have an understanding of where. Nick Caserio kind of shed some lights on how they feel and what they're looking at when it comes to Titus Howard.
I would say specific to Titus, that's an example of a player that he's actually shown that he can play at a good level at either spot. So there is sort of an innate level of versatility. I think sometimes that term is used a little, I would say not carelessly or freely, but that the assumption is a player just has position versatility because of A, certain measurables, or B, should be able to do it. But if you've actually never seen him do it, it's hard to make that extrapolation and make that assessment. And you're really not going to know with that player until you actually get into training camp, because it's a little bit of a dynamic.
All right, that was Nick Caserio talking about Tytus Howard. Before you get into your thoughts on what he had to say there, Clint, real quick, something he said in there. Do you agree that he has shown that he can play at a good level at that spot?
I think he is one guy that has proven to have the ability to play guard and tackle, and you know, you've seen really, really good at both positions. I think there's probably been some inconsistencies that'll piss people off, but when you're playing a guy flipping him from the right side to the left side, flipping him from tackle to guard, I think that's, you know, cutting a guy a little bit of slack, maybe showing a little bit of grace is probably fair.
Yeah.
I think Nick worded that the way that he did on purpose. I think he said he's played both good. He used the term good. Now, I believe Tytus would tell you that he'd like to play tackle and be great. And let's be honest, you paid him like he plays tackle, and he's been great at right tackle. But you know, there's a lot of truth to what Nick said there. There's some true position flexibility there with Tytus Howard.
Yeah, to the point that he made good. Yes, we saw him. Hell, he had a great game. One game against Chris Jones several years ago when he first started to venture out to the guard thing. I think the other part is consistent. Like, you know, how is he consistently good at the guard position? I think I'm pretty confident, maybe some of you may disagree, but I'm pretty confident that he could be consistently good as a tackle. I think we've seen that. I wonder if that is the case at guard. And I also do this, fellas. His play was just so much of an improvement of what they were getting out of that position that I don't even know if I've even fairly really watched it and thought, like, man, has he? Like, what? Like, how good was he? Because it was just a comparison to what Kenyon Green was giving you, and you look over and it was just like, no, it wasn't a turnstile. Like, it wasn't just guys just immediately giving pressure. So I don't know if he got a everybody sucked before him type bump in which how we felt about him, and maybe that makes you feel, but I just I don't even really remember. I just remember it wasn't just a train wreck like it was prior to him getting in there. I'm not even really sure how great he played last
year. I think he had the same struggles that I think everybody, that the biggest problem was with this offensive line, which was communication, and he's clearly a better player and a more experienced player than really anybody that was playing inside. Really, anybody not named Laramie Tunsil, he's more experienced then. So he was able to recover and able to overcome some issues, but it was still ugly offensive line play simply because of the communication. He didn't know who he had. He didn't – the communication pre-snap in identifying who you have and what you're going to do, the communication post-snap and communicating, hey, man, here's – you know, we're getting a twist, a potential twist. That was not good. So he struggled because of all of those things, and there were more bad moments than there were – really good moments. And so there's nobody on that offensive line that didn't struggle due to the communication issues. The most talented guy, Laramie Tunsil, he overcame in pass protecting situations more times than not. But as a whole, the offensive line struggled big time, and guys played well below their ceiling because of those communication issues. And I don't think Tytus is void of that being a real issue.
Yeah.
Or having been a real issue for him.
Yeah, I think they've all but said it, Clint, that where he's going to play next year.
Yeah. Yeah, look,
adds up to that.
Yeah, I think that to me, the one thing is, again, is I think he'd be a lot better than just a good right tackle. Like, I think he would have potential, or left tackle. I think he would, you put him there. One, I think the player's happy. I think athletically, I think his skill set actually fits the movement at the tackle position more so than the movement and the requirements at the guard position. So I think that's going to be the hurdle here is and I don't fault him. I would not fault Tytus Howard for this. But the if they're playing with his emotions now, that's going to be a problem, right? I mean, this has got to be a situation where, I mean, it's we're going on 3 years now of Titus Howard putting in his Twitter bio that he's a right tackle and that he's a tackle and he's this and he's that. You move Laramie Tunsil, you think, hey, man, you can't tell me, we weren't the only one. You can't tell me that Titus Howard didn't go, okay, now am I the next left tackle on this team? Am I going to get an opportunity there to go earn that in my next contract? Like, it's human nature to think think that way. So, you know, how
I would hope they have had conversations with him.
Well, how they play this is going to be interesting. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they haven't had conversations. I would like to think that they have, but with this crew, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they have not had those conversations. It seems to me with Nick's answers today, we can't play all of them for you. If you want to go back the 7:30 hour. Segment with the Payne and Pendergast this morning, to hear the whole thing. But it to me, the way that Nick Caserio tiptoed around, he's played guard and tackle good. He's shown the position flexibility. It seems to me like the news hadn't been broke to Titus Howard. Hey, man, you're a guard, boss.
Oh, man, no.
Which, that's the part.
I didn't even think about that until you just brought that up. Well, they have had to have talked to him about it. It can't because, like, obviously, Clint, Titus can see the numbers it add, too. Like, he can see, oh, they brought in Cam Robinson. They gave him $14 million. They ain't just doing that for him to sit down. They brought in Trent Brown. They drafted Blake Fisher last year.
Yeah.
They drafted a tackle. And we're going to let you hear what D'Amico, and Nick echoed it today, what D'Amico had to say about the tackle Ursary, who they brought in. Like, that's a bunch of tackles. I would just hope they're not just... They ain't said nothing to him yet.
Yeah, no. The tackle thing is clearly, you know, I mean, it's hard to ignore if you're Titus Howard. But still, you've been in the organization for forever, it feels like. You've been told, I'd imagine, multiple times that you're a tackle. And it just strikes me as this is, like Nick Caserio went on today to talk about how you got guys that are tackles that can also play guard, and you got guards that can play center, you got guards that can play all three interior positions, inside positions. Like, the tiptoeing around, handling with kid gloves, it just strikes me as a, you know, we're not ready to tell Titus and call Titus a guard yet. Now, their actions will obviously say that. But it strikes me as, hey, man, we hadn't sat down with the player yet and said, hey, bub, you're going to be a guard. I mean, we're still talking about this offseason, Nick talking about, you know, now's the time to experiment ultimately and try all the different things and techniques and positions and all that stuff. I mean, you've seen enough football with Titus Howard at guard and tackle. There's no need to experiment in the offseason with Titus Howard. You've seen everything you need to know about guard and tackle. You've seen it all. Like, good, bad, and ugly. You know exactly what the strengths and weaknesses are with Titus Howard at both positions. And, you know, I would like to think, which I don't believe it's happened, as I mentioned, I would like to think that there's a sit-down coming where they say, hey, man, you're a guard, boss.
He has to know it. I haven't looked at his Twitter bio yet. A minute.
I hadn't looked at it either.
That just has to be a conversation that's had.
I would,
because
so.
The work, like the thing that I have said is, listen, I'm not going to come off of it. Like, I don't love him at guard. Never have. I remember sitting up at that Buffalo Wild Wings 2 years ago, you know, planting my flag, like, don't ever put him back over there, and then having to turn face on that because it was so bad last year. Like, the thing is, I know he won't be a train wreck. And he won't get CJ killed. I don't know if it's the best thing to improve, but I know he won't get him killed. But surely the thing that I appreciate was, like, all right, if he's going to play guard, at least you bring him in the offseason, and he has the entire offseason, and he has no confusion of where he's going to go. Because every time he's had to move in, Clint, it's come in the middle of the season as an emergency, and not just like, all right, I know I'm going to be playing this position, and I know this is what I need to do and get ready for.
Right.
He just had to switch, which is, as you've said, completely other side of the line that he lines up on, with a different hand that he puts down. So I did think that part of it, but the worst thing about it is having a maybe irritated, pissed off Titus Howard playing guard and not being and not going into it understanding a countryman, it just been sprung.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing though, that's he's not a good enough player to do that. Like that's the problem with, and I don't think he's the kind of player to do it either. By the way, we've talked a lot about, you know, I don't think Titus is a rock the boat guy. I think Titus is a fall in line type of player. And if you tell him, hey, you're going to play guard, you're going to play guard, and that's just what it is. We paid you like a tackle. You better be lucky you're making the money you're making, and yes,
but he's
a guard.
But he's pass aggressive.
Look,
he'll put out a tweet or put in his bio.
Why wouldn't he?
His
mentor, his mentor would do. To me, it's Nick and D'Amico need to sit down with the kid and tell him, hey, man, look, you're going to play guard, and we're going to do guard things. We're going to do guard things moving forward. All the position-specific work that you get in the offseason, what little we do get with you and what little you do put in, we're going to get, it's going to be guard. It's going to be guard-oriented. It's going to be guard-centric. It's not going to be tackle, getting up and getting wide and handling a D-end, an edge rusher in space. It's going to be in tight quarters. It's going to be out of a three-point stance, inside and communicating with the center and the other guard. And that's what I think is the right thing to do by the guy. The one thing, and I can see Nick doing this because Nick is just the way they operate, I think, especially when it's guys not named Laramie Tunsil. This is a do what you're asked to do, do your job. And if you're out there telling him he's a tackle and a guard, I could see the young fella getting real frustrated at that.
Yes, that's what I'm
Instead
saying.
Instead of just being up front.
That's why I believe, I don't know why I do, and I probably should be the thought process that you have, because the way they are saying it, they are making it seem like they don't know. And I'm just thinking that's gamesmanship maybe to others. But I just have to believe that Titus Howard has a clear idea of where he's going to be. Right, like he is the only lineman there that you would look at and say, I know he's going to be one of the five. Like without 100% guarantee, I know he's going to be one of the five because he can play multiple spots. I just got to believe that Joker knows where he's playing. I know the look you're giving me
I'm just telling you, it wouldn't shock me if he hadn't had a conversation with him about it. It wouldn't shock me one bit. I think that especially in the offense.
Now the stuff you're talking about with D'Amico yesterday is starting to come into
play.
If that's the case.
Look, especially with the mentality they're trying to create in that offensive line room, is you got to earn everything. We're not going to have guys that feel entitled. We're not going to have guys that think they're above what's best for the team. I mean, you think about what they're trying to do in that offensive line room. And now we're gonna go around and we're gonna handle certain guys with kid gloves again, and we're just gonna have certain conversations with certain guys. I it wouldn't shock me one bit if it wasn't happening.
Yeah, someone texted.
Hey, this is a shut up, especially the offensive line. Shut up and do your job. Earn your keep.
All right, that's a route to go, as you said. Who his mentor is from? Someone texted or from the YouTube and Twitch 99 reasons. Titus is whatever they need him to be, period. Not that complicated, fellas. As Clint said, yeah, I think ultimately
I disagree.
Will be
it
that.
Is complicated.
He'll be that, but ultimately, this is a guy that just went unprompted to his to his social media and said, "I'm a right tackle only." After he had been moved to guard, he came into the season right tackle only. Clearly to let you know that. What his wishes are, and where he is, and that he's not just, hey man, happy to play. I'll play wherever I want to. And I don't even think it's being soft with somebody. I just think it's an understand, like, hey man, we got a guy here. We want to make sure the communication is clear and everybody knows what they're going to do, and not just say, hey man, all right, here, man, training camp. Look, man, here, this is where you're going to play.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it is. I mean, if you're a fan that looks at it as that texter does, then so be it. I ain't gonna tell anybody how to fan, but it's a very it's very complicated for him, right? Right tackle to left guard is very complicated. Having a whole career in Houston where it was just like, hey, Titus, you might play right tackle, you might play left guard, whatever the hell we need. Like that's complicated. Like that, you're in his pocket big time for his next his next contract. I mean, that's complicated. And the O-line issues, I mean, it's one of the biggest problems. It's not the biggest problem in Houston. It was one of the top three or four biggest issues in the NFL. Yep. Not protecting C.J. Stroud? I mean, that's a big-ass deal, and it is very, very complicated. Absolutely it is.
Yep. All right, coming up, it is Wednesday. That means stock up, stock down. You know the drill. We're doing stock up, stock down, Rockets off-season edition. Give us your stock up, stock down going into the off-season for the Rockets. We'll do that coming up.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, every hump day right here on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. A little stock up, stock down with a different flavor each week. Today we got a Rockets 2025 offseason edition. Of course, the Houston Rockets, well, their season has come to an end at the hand of the Warriors. Those turds. We'll get to the turds on Thursday. But a little Rockets offseason edition. Stock up, stock down. I want to start with you, Ron, the show Hughley. And you know what? You said something yesterday. I took it to heart. I'm all about personal growth, taking yourself out of your comfort zone. So I'm going to start with the positives today.
How about that?
I'm going to start with the positives. So stock up for you, Ron, the show, as the Rockets enter this offseason.
I think my stock up here, and I see some people texting in theirs, is Reed Sheppard. You look at clearly what they are struggling at.
The arrow's pointed up.
Is what is his best skill right now. And it is almost surprising that he didn't find his way on the floor with how much they struggled with outside shooting. That can't be the case. You're not the number three overall pick and then start getting opportunities. You can't be the number three overall pick. Your specialty and the thing that got you most there is your ability to shoot the basketball and you be on a team that struggles like hell shooting the basketball and not get an opportunity in year two. So I think that's got to be a priority for Ime Udoka and the rest of the Rocket staff, that Reed Sheppard become a bigger part and in the rotation at the very least, because they desperately need shooting. He is this team's probably most natural shooter even right now. Reed Sheppard got to be looking at that like, oh, yeah, they need my ass. As them bad boys just keep clanking, they need me. So Reed Sheppard, to me, stock up.
I like it. I like it. You talk about a guy that, I mean, not one minute in the playoffs that was that mattered, and somehow his value is up, and I agree wholeheartedly.
So around the show, Hughley's stock up this week is the young Reed Sheppard, the good Sheppard. Now over to you, Clint Sterner. What is your stock up for the offseason for these young Rockets?
It's easy for me, man. I think stock up is Alpi Shingun, man. Obviously he was an all-star throughout the year, played a ton of minutes.
I'm so happy.
But then you look when he got to the playoffs, regardless of the production, I know he had some big nights. I know in the 2024-25 season, in the postseason averages, I mean, my man was over 11, damn near 12 rebounds a game, damn near 5.5 assists a game, and from a points perspective, he was over 20 points a game. Could he be better? Sure. But for the first stretch in the playoffs, the production was good, but I tell you what was even better was just how he bowed his neck. The moment was never too big. The fight was consistent for 7 games, and never backed down one moment. And I think he arrived. I think he made a name for himself in the NBA as one of the real hot risers in the NBA, if you will, guys to look out for. And so I think Alpi Shingun just is on a whole different level right now after that series specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell, Draymond after the game, after the series, said,
yeah,
that Alpi Shingun never backed down, never backed up, had a lot of respect for him, and Lord knows he was trying to push his buttons every step of the way. Yeah, I think he walks into this year with the thought and knowing, like, at least right now, I'm the guy here.
Yeah.
Like, I think right now there is a level of confidence that he is going to gain. Like, when we start talking about his bad game is 21-14-5, like, we start talking about that is a game, like, there's got to be some major, major confidence that he got from coming from this playoff run.
The arrow's pointed up.
So, Clint Sterner, stock up, Alpi Shingun. We're on the show, Hughley, stock up, the good Sheppard. This is Stock Up, Stock Down, live on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley every Wednesday right around this time. You can catch it. We're doing a Rockets off-season edition. Back over to you, we're on the show. Now I want to hear about your Rockets offseason stock down.
Yeah, stock down to me is Cam Whitmore.
You pick two guys that ain't touch the floor, huh?
Yeah, and Reed Sheppard's one thing. That's one thing. Cam Whitmore wasn't even touching the floor when he brought in players in when it was over. Like, he didn't even get mop up. They weren't even going to give him mop up duty.
Right.
And there are many people on the text line, and I can understand it, like, hey, how come they just won't give, you know, him just a couple of minutes, some run? He's athletic, he's, you know, he can score, he you know, why wouldn't he steal a few minutes? And there is clearly a lack of trust, there is clearly a lack of belief in some form, or whether it's coming from him or the coaching staff, whatever. Clearly, they don't view him as somebody that many people would think, hey, man, he at least should get 10,
yeah,
you know, 10 minutes, right? Like, at least Reed's a rookie. He's played in games. And when you see him, he's lit up the scoreboard from time to time again. I honestly believe stock is down. Hell, I think he is most definitely going to be included in any kind of a trade that this team may make to go get one of those pieces. And your stock can't be any, like, Reed Sheppard's not going anywhere. He's probably one of the prime people that's going to be involved in a trade.
Yeah, it's hard to hard to argue with that.
I mean, he couldn't get mop up duty.
Yeah, no. there's got to be some level of like him and M.A. Udoka just don't see eye to eye. Like there's got to be and both
like that.
Which both of those guys, by the way, they appear to be. And I'm strictly going off of the facial expressions, the body language I see on TV. Both of those guys seem to be real. How about you F off type guys?
Yeah,
neither one of them seem to be guys that are going to put up much.
He may say, I don't even want you to get cardio.
Yeah, hard to argue with young Cam Whitmore being your stock down. We're on the show, Hughley. Over to you, Clint. Finish us off with a little stock down for the Rockets offseason, in your opinion.
Well, the lowest hanging fruit of the stock down group, it's Jalen Green. You're talking about a guy that before the series started is just a decent playoff series against Golden State away from being talked about league-wide, from being a guy that they continue to build around in Houston that they believe in, because they want to. They want to bad. M.A. Udoka and Rafael Stone, they want to. But you are literally just a decent series away from that to, I mean, he's got to be the centerpiece of the blockbuster trade that is in the future of the Rockets before next season starts.
Destroyed his trade value.
It's bad, bad. It's not bad enough that he went out there and did what he did himself in his own game. It's also to a point that so many guys that are young and around his age have just gone off in the playoffs. We're watching Tyrese Halliburton. Jalen Green has far more natural talent than that guy.
Agreed.
Far more. He is nowhere on that level. He scored 19 points. Nowhere on that level. Cade Cunningham, no chance. Even Anthony Edwards. We saw Anthony Edwards score 1 point. He was 0 for 10, though, in the half. Right? Like he went on. Like, it's just other young guys that play a guard position and that are young in his age range that are skyrocketing, and he's scoring 7. And 8.
Mm.
Yeah, that's rough. All right, coming up, we'll give you an Astros update. If you missed it, they got a dub. We'll tell you a little bit about that. And a huge, huge trade in the National Football League. How big is this trade? We'll discuss that coming up.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Hold on to your nipples.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Astros avoid the sweep in Milwaukee. They win 9-1. Framber Valdez, fantastic outing today. Seven innings, 101 pitches, seven strikeouts, two walks, one earned run. And the bats woke up. The offense came to play. Good, solid game. 9-1. Big games from Jeremy Pena. Big game from Yiner Diaz, as well as Zach DiCenzo. And it helped their pitcher. And, hey, some breathing room a little bit there as they went 9-1. So if you missed that, they had an early 12 o'clock ball game and won that thing 9-1 as they will have the off day tomorrow, and then get ready for the Reds coming up on a weekend series on Friday. All right, Clint, the big news, and this happened early. I know I saw it early. I think Tyler texted pretty early this morning, and that is the trade in the National Football League, Clint. The Dallas Cowboys, and I know it's some Cowboy fans listening, despite the amount of people who are going to text in over the next 10-plus minutes to say that let's talk about this. But the Steelers trade George Pickens, Clint, to the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys have acquired George Pickens and a 2027 sixth-round pick from the Steelers. The Steelers in the deal get a 2026 third-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. So there it is. Finally. Hey, he said he had something up his sleeve, Tyler. And damn it, Jerry pulled something up his sleeve. And the third-round pick is the biggest thing they gave up there to get George Pickens. The Steelers had just signed DK Metcalf. A lot of people wonder if they wanted to pay both Pickens and Metcalf, so they tried to get as much as they could get for him. And the Cowboys have been looking for a second receiver for a while now and another threat. And now, Clint, you start to look at their offense. If you look at it on paper, it looks strong right now. But I want to first start with this. And the people on the text line, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch can jump in on this as well. How big a deal is this trade? How big is this? I know many people look at it. It's the Cowboys, the Steelers, two really popular franchises. But on the surface of it, when you look at this, how big of a deal is this?
Well, I think it's a huge deal. I think the Cowboys are just one of the teams that's going to get more attention around the NFL in any given year, regardless of how good they are or are not. And when the Cowboys are good and in the mix, the ratings are through the roof. And a lot of people believe that this move right here is one that's going to make them relevant and take their offense to the next level. Look, I think to me, there's several layers here. I think first and foremost, just the 30,000 foot view of George Pickens in Dallas. This has boom or bust written all over it, which for Jerry is a win either way because he's going to get eyeballs on the team. It's going to be on the ticker on SportsCenter. It's going to start the conversation every Sunday morning, and on every talk show throughout the week. This you read about George Pickens, and I've read about it over the last 24 hours, but a lot of it you don't think about because some of it's kind of behind the scenes, some of it's kind of minimized because it's not just horrifying like disciplinary reasons are things, but it's hard to win in spite of these types of issues. George Pickens is no doubt about it a great player. Beyond being a great player, great wide receiver, he is a perfect fit, boys, for the Dallas Cowboys. He's a perfect fit for the two most important Dallas Cowboys in CeeDee Lamb. He complements CeeDee Lamb as well as you can complement CeeDee Lamb, and he fits Dak Prescott as well as you can fit Dak Prescott. You start talking about, I'll save you all the numbers and just put it in layman's terms. You want to talk about a quarterback throwing the football, driving the football down the field, the willingness to stretch the field over and over again, paired with a wide receiver that's one of the best in the game at doing that. Again, not always successful, but best in the game at stretching the field.
That is true. They do complement each other. You look at their body ties, they seem like CeeDee Lamb is more of a move guy that you can do.
No question. He is a weapon. He is a weapon that can do it all, and then you've got a burner on the outside that can take the top off the defense. It's very comfortable stretching the field, and a quarterback that has stretched the field at a higher rate and been more successful doing it than anybody else in the league. And so it's a perfect fit, but it's more likely that this doesn't work than it does work. It's more likely that George Pickens continues to do the things that he did in Pittsburgh, in Dallas. There's going to be more attention on it in Dallas, and it's more than likely going to blow up in their face once again. This is a typical Dallas pickup where the ceiling's really high, the reward's really high, and the risk is really high. And if Tigers don't typically change their stripes, right? This has got real boom or bust potential. Maybe both. I mean, he could potentially go out there and put up. Yeah, I'm with you, Jerry. He could potentially go out there and put up huge numbers, and they put up with it, and he's just a headache the entire time. And when you need him the most, you can't count on the guy. I mean, this is a guy that literally did not block on the goal line for his running back, and then had the gall to stand up to the media after and say, "Yeah, I didn't want to risk injury." I mean, this guy, he's constantly late to things, even games. He constantly quits on his team, and that's who you went and got and spent draft capital on. Again, hell of a player. Well, I hope you can manage the problem that he is.
When you start to look at this offensive lineup, you obviously Dak, who should be healthy and back. They went and got Javonte Williams, a power back really good at Denver. Then they got Miles Sanders, a back that's got more speed, a change of pace, that can catch the ball in the backfield. He had over 1,000 yards a couple of years back when he was with Philly. And they went to the Super Bowl. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb, and now you add George Pickens, and they've got Turpin. If you don't remember him, I know Jeff Okuda remembers him. In the slot, that's another change of pace, speed back. Jalen Tolbert, they really like now. He's their third receiver. Jake Ferguson is a pretty good pretty good tight end as well. Obviously, we know they went up and made the move to get Tyler Booker in the draft to go fill the void that they lost with some of their offensive linemen. That is an offense on paper that looks like they could be something. And as I look at the text line, people are coming in. Another diva wide receiver. Wow, what a shocker. Jerry doesn't have time to have a bad time. As someone texted in, the biggest question after the Pickens move, what's going to be Jerry's excuse when the Cowboys fell again in the playoffs?
What's your point?
If Dallas can afford CD and Pickens, damn it, the Texans can. Still just the Cowboys. Didn't move the needle with this. Jerry is still there.
Quick ass Cowboys.
It moves the needle. But this is a 10. Look, we've seen this in Dallas. We've seen a top scoring offense in Dallas that is explosive. Kellen Moore had as explosive an offense as you're gonna find in Dallas. They were slinging that thing now. And it just takes a little bit more to that than that to win when you're playing, when you got to make a run against four of the best that the NFL has to offer, and this is right on brand for the Cowboys.
This is a 10, and a lot of the points you made earlier, like there are only a few teams, programs, or organizations that make, when they're good, that make the sport better.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for many people here, this is a tough one to hear. I believe that the Cowboys are one of those teams in the NFL that when they're good, I think the sport is better for it.
Oh, I agree.
And this is a move that looks like they're going to be in, at the very least, in playoff contention. Right? And their division is stacked.
It isn't on my schedule.
And they had to do something. And so this puts them in a place where they're going to, like, we ain't going to get to weeks 6 or 7 and the Cowboys are like they were last year, 3-5 and getting worse. Like, this is a team that should be in the hunt for things. And then the other part is there is an F up potential that, as you talked about, that is going to be something that could be something to watch. And Dak's got to deal with all of this. You got a rookie head coach. I know Schottenheimer's been around, but you got a rookie head coach. And you got Dak who's got to try to handle these two jokers, because you got two jokers who want the ball.
You got one guy that's a surefire number one. You've already paid him like a number one. You got another guy in a contract year that the team that drafted him in the second round just gave up on him. He's going to want balls, and when he's not getting balls, whether it's going to CeeDee Lamb or you're trying to establish a run, he's shown the propensity to go off on the sideline. I think it took him about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, I think, up in Pittsburgh to go off his rookie year. Like, this is
and then you got a Micah Parsons on the other side who will not have an issue with calling out, right, even if it's silly to do. Well, will have an issue calling out a George Pickens.
The Micah Parsons deal here that's interesting is you've got a loose cannon. You got a guy that spouts off at the mouth all the time, so obviously it's acceptable in Dallas to do that. So now you get a guy like George Pickens who has some issues and isn't near that caliber player. All of a sudden, he feels like it's okay to do that kind of thing, which it'll happen. It's just a matter of time. Oh,
they feel like they're on the edge the whole time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But on the edge, it could win, 11
Micah
games.
Micah can do it. Why can't I do it?
They're going to be on the edge. But interesting, it could be good, which would make
it could be lights out. It could be. This could be the missing piece.
No, it could be. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Well, Nick Caserio joined Payne and Pendergast, and the offensive line here in Houston has been the big, big question mark, y'all. And Nick Caserio, he spoke on Titus Howard's future as well as the draft pick, offensive tackle, Ariante Ursary. He spoke on his future as well here in Houston. You don't want to miss this. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.